And a word of prayer before we do. Lord, as we look at your word now, we want to ask you for your anointing on the reading of it and the preaching of it, and on our hearing, especially all of us, we pray that we would hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Amen. Numbers chapter 11 and from verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. Also, he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and stationed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and he took of the Spirit who was on him and placed him upon the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. I just stop there. If you're reading from an authorised version, your version may have something a little bit different, but go with the New American Standard. I believe that is the more accurate of the two. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those who had been registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And they prophesied in the camp. So a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Then Joshua the son of Nun, the attendant of Moses from his youth, said, Moses, my Lord, restrain them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Then Moses returned to the camp, both he and the elders of Israel. Would you put your finger there, please, and go to the first letter of Peter in the New Testament. If you're not sure where that is, it's almost at the end of the Bible. You've got Revelation, then the little letter of Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, and then 2 Peter, and then 1 Peter. We'll read from verse 10. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. My friends, we are continuing in our series, which we've started on what it is to be a prophetic people. That's the title of the series of sermons that we're looking at, probably up till Christmas. And we have really only just started. We've looked at it by way of an introduction. And then last week, Mike spoke to us about the need for watching. I don't think on that first occasion we looked at Numbers chapter 11. And really, just for the sake of those of you who haven't been with us, let's look at this little passage here where Moses expresses something of the heart of God, in that he desires all his people to be prophets. In the New Testament, you find a very similar sentiment expressed by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, I want you all to speak in tongues, but especially that you prophesy. Now, is the Lord saying that he expects us all to exercise the ministry of a prophet or to be able to speak a word of prophecy? I don't think that is really what has been talked about. the general tenor of the scripture, although both those passages that I've referred to, of course, speak about those things, of the prophetic ministry, and in 1 Corinthians 14 the gift of this of prophecy and the prophetic ministry there as well. But essentially, God wants us to be a prophetic people in the sense that we understand what the Lord is saying and understand what the Lord is doing. That's especially for the days in which we live. And really, when Moses is saying, would to God that all the people, all God's people were prophets, the definition of a prophet is somebody who speaks on behalf of another. We are called to speak on behalf of God. You are a prophetic person if you share something of your testimony of how the Lord has saved you. We find in the book of Revelation the following statement. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When you share your testimony of how the Lord has saved you, you are bringing something of the word of God and the witness of the Lord to that person who to whom you are speaking. We are to be a prophetic people in the sense that the scriptures say to us that we're to understand or discern the times in which we live. We were looking at last night that the Lord spoke to his disciples just before he went to the cross. And he said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. And he begins to give something of the signs of the times, the signs of his coming and what we can expect. And at the end of that, he says three or four times, what I say to you, I say to everybody, be on the alert. Watch, be on guard. Friends, those characteristics are absolutely vital, as we were looking at last week, if we are to be a prophetic people. For the next two Sundays, God willing, I am going to look at how to handle the prophetic scriptures. How to handle the prophetic scriptures. If we are going to be a prophetic people, we need to understand how to handle, what is involved in handling the prophetic scriptures. We may have to, in fact, we should ask, first of all, what are the prophetic scriptures? What do we mean by that? Scripture contains both Old and New Covenants, in both Old and New Covenants, a number of different kinds of writings. There is what we call the law, or better, perhaps translated as instruction. And then there is prophecy, which can be on a number of different levels. This is where God speaks in the first person, usually, and he may speak to a person regarding individuals or regarding nations. Sometimes those prophets, as they are called, are mentioned by name. Sometimes they are not. But there is a sense in which all the scriptures, whatever kind of writings they may be, and of course I've just mentioned the two in the Old Testament, when you come to the New Testament, we're talking about gospel writings, we're talking about letters, we're talking about different kinds of writings in both Old and New Testaments. But there is a sense in which all the scriptures are prophetic in that they are speaking as if from God. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is inspired by God, is God-breathed. So, for example, in Leviticus 26, if you have read that ever, and some people avoid the book of Leviticus because they think it's irrelevant or they think it's too difficult. Well, it is difficult, but it's not irrelevant. And whether or not you understand it, I would encourage you to read it. And one of the passages you might have read is a list of all the different festivals that the Jewish people have to read. You think, well, what has that got to do with me living in the UK in 2015? Well, more than you might think, actually. Because in those festivals, they are much more than just the details of certain feast days that the Jewish people were commanded to observe. Why were they commanded to observe them? Because, dear friends, the Lord was trying through those festivals to convey something of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, for example, the obvious one is Passover. which coincided historically with the moment that the Lord Jesus died on the cross. He was the Passover lamb. And when the Jewish people celebrate Passover, they are celebrating in a prophetic act, because it is looking forward to the death and the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Passover is prophetic. There is another festival that speaks about the resurrection. There's another festival that speaks about Pentecost. All these things are looking forward to something that was going to take place. And there are other festivals that are still yet to be fulfilled. Those are in this kind of the festivals round about March and April and May. Then there's a long period of time when there is nothing. And then we're in the time now of tabernacles. We've just been celebrating, the Jewish people have just been celebrating the new year and the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. Now, what are all those festivals about? They're prophetic. They're looking forward to the second coming of the Lord, his return. And friends, if we do not know the scriptures, we cannot be a prophetic people. If we're going to understand something of what the Lord is doing these days and be able to speak authoritatively as if from God, conveying something of the mind and the heart of God, we have to be able to handle the prophetic scriptures. I've just given you one example. Abraham is called a prophet in Genesis 20 verse 7. Moses is called a prophet in Deuteronomy 18 verse 18. Samuel is called a prophet in 1 Samuel 3 verse 20. David is called a prophet in the same chapter in Acts that Mike read to us today. And there are others as well. John the Baptist is called a prophet as well. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 9. There's one statement which I can't immediately find the reference to it, but you find the Lord Jesus saying this: for all the law and the prophets prophesied until John. Let me say that again. All the law and the prophets prophesied until John. So really what he's saying is that the whole of the Old Testament is prophecy, in that whatever kind of writing it is, law, prophecy, poetry, history, whatever, it's all God-breathed. God is saying something to us through it. And so we do need to know how the Lord wants us to handle the prophetic scriptures. Now, with hindsight, that may be a little bit easier, because we know that where the scriptures are prophesying of certain events that have already taken place, we can say, oh, well, yes, of course, that is what was being referred to. At the time that the prophets were actually speaking and saying these things, things were not quite so straightforward. And we're going to look in a minute at 1 Peter 1, which is one of two passages that I want to look at over the next couple of weeks, where we see how the prophets originally prophesied. But there are events that are yet to be fulfilled, which the scriptures speak about, regarding the nations, regarding empires, Daniel chapters 2 and Daniel chapter 4, regarding world history, Matthew chapter 24, Luke 21, and perhaps supremely in the book of Revelation. There are things that are spoken of in the scriptures regarding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are things, as well as the facts of the Lord Jesus' death, his life, his resurrection, where he lived, how he lived, etc. All these things are prophesied in detail in the Old Testament. It is the most incredible book. But as well as that, friends, the gospel itself is prophesied. The gospel isn't a kind of New Testament invention of the early church. It's there in the Old Testament. Abraham believed God, we read, and God reckoned him as righteous. That is a statement that the Apostle Paul refers to. And he says, in so doing, Abraham was justified by God. What the gospel is in that statement of Abraham, regarding Abraham, is that if we put our trust in the Lord, if we believe what God has said supremely regarding his son, God reckons us as righteous. And we therefore do not need to have to struggle to make ourselves approved to God or accepted to God. God accepts us on the basis of the sacrifice of his son. Hallelujah. All these things are prophesied in both the Old Testament and regarding the second coming, etc., in the New Testament as well. Well, would you please look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Here we read of the struggle, perhaps is not the totally the appropriate word, but certainly we read of how the prophets of old dealt with the things that God was showing them. In as far as we read of how they handle these things, we can learn how, if we're going to be a prophetic people, we are to look at the prophetic scriptures. So it says in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired diligently and searched, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. We read first of all that they inquired, so they did not know what they were talking about. They wrote of the death of the Lord Jesus, they wrote of his suffering, they wrote of his life, and sometimes they wrote of things that were going to come on world history, and they struggled to know what on earth the Lord was conveying to them. So friends, when you read the scriptures and you think to yourself, I can't understand this, what on earth is it talking about? You're in good company. You are. The question is, does God mean us to understand everything regarding the prophetic scriptures before they actually take place? I want to suggest to you the answer is no. But we are to familiarise ourselves with them. We are to know what they say, even if there are certain things we struggle to get our heads around. Well, what did they do? And friends, if they struggled, these early prophets, I think we're in good company. And so it says how they did handle it. They said they inquired. And friends, that's the first thing that we need to lay hold of. What I'm saying to you is, as we look at how the early prophets handled prophecy, these give us keys as to how we are to handle the word of God. And not just the prophetic scriptures, I might add, but all of God's word. So the first thing it says is that we're to inquire. Which means we are to search out, or even to demand. Now, can I ask you, when you come to the scriptures, do you read it? Do you read it at all? I could ask you. I hope you do. If you don't, make a habit of reading the scriptures through. And if you say, well, it's a rather large book and I'm not used to reading large books, well, don't try and read the whole thing in one sitting, possibly. But divide it up into chunks, manageable portions. Some people have said 3 pages in the old, 1 in the new will get you through in a year. And that's a very good rule of thumb. What I would not suggest you do is just to pick out certain bits that you find easy, or that you find particularly appealing, or that even that you can understand. If you've not read Leviticus, read it. And if you don't understand it, never mind, read it again. And years later, when you've read the scriptures through for perhaps the 15th time or the 16th time, or whatever it is, God will begin to open things up to you. And you'll think, oh yes, that is why it says in this particular place, etc., etc. So don't just restrict yourselves to John's Gospel because of these marvellous sayings. Don't just restrict yourself to the Psalms because it sort of rather appeals to me, because I'm because I can sympathise with the circumstances. Yes, read the Psalms, but read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, etc. as well. Start at Genesis, start at Matthew, read the two concurrently and go through, and you'll get through in about a year. And if you find you can't always read, then listen to it on a CD or whatever. But just hear and read the Word of God. But this is not what these prophets did. Yes, they did. They knew the Torah. They knew the Word of God. But they didn't just read it. It says here, they inquired. And you need to do more than simply read. You need to inquire, which is rather more an attitude of heart. Time and again in the scriptures, you read of a phrase like this: David inquired of God. Or another priest would inquire of God for this and that. Indeed, it was part of the priestly role in the Old Testament, was to inquire of God on somebody's behalf. You find, actually, that those who are prophets are those who are inquirers. Another word for prophet is somebody who sees. And you would not see anything unless you learned to inquire. And so David, on one occasion, Psalm 27 and verse 4, he says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." Now, friends, I don't know about you. I would think David was a pretty busy man, wouldn't you? I mean, he was king of Israel. He had Philistines to fight. he should have been busier, of course. Really. Otherwise, he wouldn't have noticed Bathsheba, but that's another story. But he was a fairly busy man. But the priority in his life, right throughout his life, was that, expressed in that statement. "One thing I have desired of the Lord." I wonder what you would have said. Would you have said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord," if you were David, would you have said, "to destroy the Philistines? One thing I have desired of the Lord is to be a successful military person. One thing I have desired of the Lord is to build the temple of the Lord." Would you say any of those things? Certainly both those things were involved, but his heart was, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." And he then goes on to talk about inquiring and beholding, seeing. And friends, if we are going to be a prophetic people, we need to make it an absolute priority to inquire of God ourselves. So I want to ask you, as well as reading, do you make time to be with the Lord? Do you make time to have fellowship with the Lord? Some of the prophets are in the scripture are obviously those whose their whole lives were bound up with their relationship with the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting that you pack up everything and go and be a monk or a nun or something. Not a bit of it. But what I am suggesting is, start to inquire of the Lord. Start to seek after him. When you read the scriptures, when you read the prophetic scriptures, you will begin to understand, if you have an inquiring heart and an inquiring mind, say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm reading this. Please help me to understand it." Talk to the Lord about it. "Lord, it says here, and I don't understand. Please, will you show me?" Begin to have that kind of inquiring mind, an inquiring heart. Bring the Lord into your consideration, your inquiring of the scriptures, your searching after them, your asking him what they mean. This is what these prophets did. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired." It says, "Of which salvation the prophets." Now, just to set this little passage in context, verse 9 speaks about salvation, and verse 5 speaks about salvation. And in verse 9, it's talking about the salvation which is yet to be revealed when the Lord Jesus returns. Verse 5, similarly, kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, part of that salvation is, of course, to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice at Calvary. But there are many other aspects of this salvation which have yet to be revealed. And these prophets were saying, now, Lord, what does this refer to? Does it refer to events in our lifetime? Does it refer to something in the future regarding Israel? Does it refer to the Messiah? And if the Messiah, does it refer to one coming? Does it refer to two comings? And they struggle to put the whole thing together. In fact, if you look at some of the prophecies, for example, in Isaiah, you can take them on a number of different levels. And I'm giving you a key here as to how to handle the prophetic scriptures. They don't just mean one thing. They can be taken on a number of different levels. So some of the prophecies in Isaiah refer to Isaiah himself, Israel, the Messiah, first coming and or second coming. So friends, these things are on a number of different levels. And here, no wonder the prophets, Isaiah among them, would have said, now, hang on a minute, Lord, what is being talked about? But they inquired. They didn't necessarily have an answer, but they inquired. And what I'm saying is, friends, you will not have an answer unless you start to inquire. How is your relationship with the Lord? Do you long for him like David did? One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Is that what you want to do? That you want to see the Lord, you want to know him for yourself more. And you want to so behold him that you will be changed as a result. And you want to so inquire of him that you will begin to understand what he is saying and what he is doing. No wonder David was called a prophet. But they didn't just inquire. And by the way, that word in the Hebrew means to tread or to frequent. So you need to tread the courts of the Lord. You need to go into his presence frequently. Okay? It's the same kind of word that I suppose might have been used if you frequent Costa or Starbucks. You go there frequently for a coffee and a sit down and a relax. You need to frequent the presence of the Lord. Go to him regularly. Daily. The younger you are to make a habit of going to the Lord and being with him every day, the better. Make it a habit. Don't just do it when circumstances require it because you're desperate. Go to the Lord, be with him every day. I'm not telling you how long you should be there. You must sort that out for yourself. It doesn't have to be very long to start off with. But frequent his presence. Long to be with him. If you want to understand and know the Lord better, start to inquire in this way. I must move on or we're never going to finish. The second word that is used, searching of which salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Well, this is a slightly different word. It means here to investigate or to explore. So explore the scripture. So as well as having that kind of inquiring attitude, start to look things up. Start to consider other scriptures and what they mean. Let's just have a look at other scriptures that speak about this word. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 speak as follows. Acts 17 and verse 11. These believers in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. There it is, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. The scriptures were the arbiter for these believers of what was from God or what wasn't. They didn't just simply take the Apostle Paul's word for it. They looked at the scriptures for themselves. And that is another rule of thumb. There are plenty of people who have different views on certain things. And whatever church you go to, whatever assembly you go to, whatever Christian books you read that claim to understand what God is doing and what God is saying, you need to search the scriptures for yourself to see whether these things are so. If you do not do that, you will be open to deception and to getting things wrong. You need to see whether these things... Again, you may not understand everything for yourself, but check out whether what is being said to you is from the Lord or not. And here, notice, would you please, it says do it daily. So that reinforces what I was just saying before about having a regular time with the Lord. Psalm 77 and verse 6 reads as follows. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will you notice, please, that what is to be involved in your searching is not so much your intellect, although that is involved. It says, my spirit made diligent search. So our spirits are to be involved. And of course, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, and it is through the Holy Spirit that you will gain understanding. But make diligent search. The thing is, the Holy Spirit won't do it all for you. You need to make diligent search as well. So when you come to the scriptures and you start to study and you start to begin to devour what the scriptures say and to begin to have that inquiring mind and say, now, Lord, I want to be a prophetic person. What are you saying these days? What are you saying to me? What is your word for me to do today? Please, I'm not just talking in this subject just sort of, you know, of the big picture. I'm talking about knowing what the Lord is saying to you as an individual. Understanding his will for your life. That's what it is to be a prophetic person. You need to have the Holy Spirit, but you need to engage your spirit. You need to make diligent search. It says that I commune with my own heart. So it's fellowship here with the Lord. And your heart needs to be involved. That is to say, you must bring your conscience into play. You must bring your emotions as well as your intellect. And you'll certainly need to engage your will. Now, friends, when you look at the scriptures, do you commune with the Lord like that? One of the words you find in both Old and New Testaments for this kind of inquiry and seeking is the word meditate. Psalm 1, David says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of a scoffer, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Friends, if you delight in the law of God, you will learn to meditate. And meditation is nothing to do with a Far Eastern practice of sitting cross-legged humming. It isn't. It means to chew. It means to speak into. So you take a short phrase or a passage or even a word. When you chew your Sunday dinner shortly, you will not put the whole of the plate in your mouth with the food. You will take, hopefully, a little bit with a knife and fork, and you will take a little bit and you'll put it in your mouth. And depending on the texture of the roast beef, you will chew it for a long time or for a short time. Chew a little bit. Let it revolve around your mind just as the food goes round your mouth. Get the goodness out of it. Ask questions about it. It means to speak into. So you're trying to get the word of God from being just something that you've looked at and is up in your head down into your heart. And David meditated in the law of God, the first five books of the Bible. Aren't you glad you've got the whole thing? day and night. That means he did it continually. Friends, that's what you need to learn to do. If that's what we need to learn to do, if we're going to be a prophetic people, there is a real lack these days of the kind of knowledge of the Word of God, where the Word of God has got a grip of us and got a grip of the heart of the person. Paul said to the Colossians, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. There are people who know the Bible, but the Word of God does not dwell in them richly. And I would avoid them, at least avoid listening to them overmuch. Otherwise, you will simply become a rather heady person, full of knowledge. And God doesn't want you that. He wants your heart to change. He wants the Word of God to be a living reality in your life. And only as you do that will you become a prophetic person. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. Just round this off rather briefly. Searching what the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. Isn't that marvellous? What they're speaking about, what the prophetic scriptures are speaking about, is of the grace that comes to us. Then it goes on to say, searching what, and there's the same word, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them did speak. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported to them with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. So we need to inquire. We need to search. And thirdly, there is an inner witness. The Spirit of Christ was in them, pointing out to the fact, Isaiah, this is not for you, this is for another time. And friends, when you look at the prophetic scriptures, the Spirit of God in you can begin to give you a witness and say, that's not for today, it's for a time that's yet to come. Or he may say to you the opposite, this is for now, this is for now. Be on the alert. That's that inner witness. And then, would you notice, please, the kind of questions that they would have asked? They would have said, Lord, what is this talking about? When is it talking about? And what kind of period of time are we talking about? And we can ask those same questions as well. We can ask the Lord, Lord, is this for the church? Is this for Israel? Is this for another country? Is it for another generation? Or is it for the times in which we live? Friends, the Word of God is bang up to date. God has things he wants to say to people today. If only we have ears to hear. And he's looking for a prophetic people to be able to convey his word. And then the next thing is, would you notice the word revelation? Unto whom, verse 12, it was revealed. We cannot understand the prophetic scriptures unless we have revelation from the Holy Spirit. Now please don't let that freak you out. It's not that you're going to have a great vision. It's not that you need to go into a trance or anything. No, just have a look at Ephesians 1 verses 16 to 18, I think it is. Paul prays that the Lord will give the Ephesians a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they might know the Lord. That's what you need to ask for yourself. And for the church at large, Lord, please give us a work of the Holy Spirit that would reveal the Lord Jesus to us so that we may know the Lord. And other things as well. Comes from the Spirit of God. And then we need to speak about these things. And then we need to recognise them and receive them. Well, friends, just to finish off with just a few general principles. Handling the prophetic scriptures. As I say, we'll look at another passage next week that will give us some more understanding on these matters. Understand that God wants us all to be a prophetic people. That God wants to raise up people with a prophetic ministry in these days. The prophetic ministry is not just for yesteryear, it's for today. As a general rule, beware of being too dogmatic, and beware of others who are dogmatic. Let me give you an example. If you had gone in the time of the Lord Jesus up to Mr. Pharisee and said to him, "Excuse me, can you tell me everything about the Messiah?" he would have been able to give it to you absolutely, chapter and verse. So much so that Herod asked them, do you remember? "Where is the Christ to be born?" Well, it says, Micah chapter 5, in Bethlehem. They knew everything. They knew the prophecies. Did they recognize the Lord Jesus is coming? No, they missed it. Beware, therefore, of trying to dot every I and cross every T. You won't be able to do it. I want to suggest to you that the purpose of prophecy and the purpose of the prophetic scriptures is so that, as in Acts chapter 2, when Peter, on the day of Pentecost, rose up and addressed the people, he remembered the prophecy of Joel. So would you please notice, Peter knew the prophecy of Joel. He was familiar with the prophetic scriptures. He probably had been thinking to himself, particularly as he'd been walking with the Lord, "Lord, what does this refer to? Is it speaking about today? Is it speaking about tomorrow? Is it speaking about Israel? What's it speaking about?" He gets up on the day of Pentecost and he says, "This that you've seen with your own eyes today is that which Joel spoke about. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." The purpose of prophecy is so that we may recognize what God is doing. So that when something happens, we can say, yes, this is what the scripture is talking about. That is why we need to get to know the prophetic scriptures and why we need to begin to learn to handle them. And we do that by searching and inquiring and getting into the word and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of them to us. Question is, are you doing it? Friends, this is not just a message for this coming week. This is a message for the rest of our lives. Let's pray.